For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. The Civil War battle for the city of New Orleans took place on April 25, 1862. It was a unique battle that ended even though the mayor of the city refused to surrender. Dan Modlin talks with WKU historians Dr. Jack Thacker and Dr. Glenn LaFantasy.
Dr. Thacker, how were chains used to try to block the Union ships as they approached New Orleans?
Well, essentially, if you look at the entrance to the Mississippi, the South realized because of the North's superiority in naval power that they were fighting a defensive battle. So what they did is there were two forts, Fort Jackson and Fort St. Philip, on either side of the Mississippi. And then they ran a huge chain across the Mississippi. Then, knowing that that was not going to be enough, they also took a large number of cypress logs and laid them in along the chain, which was going to make it more difficult to get through. Now, if you go back in history, chains had been used. These are gigantic chains. There's one on display at West Point. So there's no way a wooden ship was going to be able to break through. Now, with the advent of steel and iron vessels, they were no longer going to work. That's the reason they used them. It was the prevailing strategy at the time.
But it didn't effectively stop
them
in this case.
What happened was Farragut came up on the shore, came up there. He had 17 ships. More importantly, those 17 ships had 115 guns. And he also had several ships that had mortar. They had 13-inch mortars on them. So his strategy in breaking through at the Mississippi was to do two things. One, come up and sort of soften up the forts with the mortar boats. And then he sent forward sailors, Marines. And what they did is they were able to clear out the cypress logs and cut the chain, knowing full well he was going to take a pounding from the forts. What Farragut decided to do was to sail, because the way the channel in Mississippi was, if you could sail much closer to Fort St. Philip than you could to Fort Jackson. So he sailed in with his ships as close to St. Philip as he could, which meant there was no way they were going to fire at him because they couldn't depress their guns low enough to hit him. And then he went through. He lost one ship, had several more damaged, and lost approximately 200 men, but he was able to break through the defenses.
And Dr. LaFantasy, New Orleans had to be considered a very important strategic location for both sides.
Absolutely, and it had been, for the United States at least, a strategic position, a strategic city, ever since the War of 1812 and Andrew Jackson's huge historic victory at the Battle of New Orleans on January 8, 1815. But there, too, the British saw the Mississippi River, saw New Orleans in the same strategic fashion as Civil War strategists would see the Mississippi. The Union wanted to control the Mississippi as quickly as possible early on in the war, if they could, in order to divide the Confederacy virtually in half, or at least divide Louisiana, a portion of Louisiana, Arkansas, and Texas from the rest of the Confederacy.
And Dr. Thacker, even though the outcome of the battle had been established, the mayor of New Orleans refused to surrender.
And so Farragut sits there and looks at New Orleans, and the mayor of New Orleans looks at Farragut. Their guns trained on them. There's nothing New Orleans can do. And finally, on the 29th, Farragut sends Marines over, and they, without any trouble, raise the American flag over the main public buildings.
After the North took control of New Orleans, Union General Benjamin Butler made some remarks about women in the city that were considered offensive by many. The WKU historians say that situation even led to strained diplomatic relations with England. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.